I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Love Letter to My Friend, the podcast where friends write and share letters of love and thanks with each other. Hosted by me, Lisa Smazarski.
And her friend, Alex Walker.
So Al, I think it probably would make sense to talk about why on earth we've decided to get people to write love letters to their friends, not to their lovers, as is traditional. I'll never say that again, I'm sorry.
Not that I've ever written a love letter to my husband. Feels really retro. But yeah, I think we should kick off and say that actually we're not naturally really corny people. But I think something about this last 12 months of pandemic chaos has made us really appreciate our friends more than ever before.
Totally. And we are good friends, but I would say that for the majority of our friendship, we've dealt in bants and sarcasm and a little bit of piss taking rather than genuine gestures of... I love you, hun. You're amazing.
Yeah, I do often see a lot of those really celebratory friends commenting on each other's posts and think, oh, gosh, wow. Because that isn't how I naturally converse with my friends. It does tend to be much more jokey and much more sarcastic. However, despite the fact that every part of me does veer towards sarcasm, you know, the last 12 months have just shown me how much... a gaping hole there has been in my life because I haven't seen my friends enough. I really miss them, you know, as just having the people that you live with is not enough in your life. And a quick WhatsApp chat with them is not the same as seeing your friends the amount that we used to.
No, it's really not. And I think we obviously got chatting about this last year. We were talking about, you know, where a hug might say all of those things for you. Actually, you're finding yourself actually having to tell people you miss them. And, you know, it's quite uncomfortable sometimes as you go into that. But actually, you know, from chatting to my friends, the things that have got most people through this period, it isn't romantic love. It's the platonic love that you share with friends and people that know you or who are there for you, who can make you laugh when you need to laugh or will just listen when you need to talk. And we were like, actually, how amazing would it be if we started to celebrate friendship in the same way that we celebrate romantic love? So that's our mission, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, we all know there is so many ways to celebrate romantic love. You know, there's obviously a dedicated day, Valentine's Day, but everything, you know, every TV show, every film, it's all about the impetus is on finding the romance. But actually... It's your friends who get you through most things, however strong your relationship is. It's your friendships that you need, you know, when you need a night out and because you really need to laugh, or you need that person who still remembers what you were like when you were at school and you can just say that one person's name that you were in a class with and you both start laughing.
The code word,
you know. That is so important, as important as romantic relationships. And I say this as somebody in a romantic relationship, you know, my friends are so important.
Oh, you've never described it as romantic before.
In a relationship with somebody I am married to. Not a lot of romance. But yeah, you know, I say this as somebody in a relationship. My friends are just as important. And I think it's probably time we start telling them that they are.
Yeah, I think so. So that's what this podcast is all about. It's about telling your friends how much they mean to you. And what we've decided to do is ask people to write a letter because, again, we wanted to reclaim the language of love, so the old-fashioned idea of writing a love letter, and to give that to your friend because also we're like, that's something you can keep between you as friends. And someone told me a lovely story about how they'd written a letter to their friend that they carried around with them for years and years. And I was like, God, that has got to be the ultimate gift. If you're ever feeling a bit down, imagine having that to refer to. And I, with one of my oldest friends, we've got all these like postcards and letters from when we were teenagers, and we'd like literally would send postcards from holidays. And I found one recently and it made me laugh for hours. So I was like, this is what we want to get back to, is having these keepsakes that mean something about your friendship.
Exactly. And also, I think, isn't it so important now when the world is so crazy to just take a bit of time to reflect on that friendship and what it means to you and your favourite things about it, and give it a bit of time that it deserves, that we rarely get the chance to. It feels like a really important thing to do right now.
Yeah. So we have decided this isn't about us. This is about asking other friendship pairs to come on. So we've got some brilliant guests coming up, like Terry White, who's actually someone we've both worked with before, but an amazing editor and author, and Charlie Brinkhurst Cuff from Gowderm. And they, alongside a load of other guests, are going to be writing and sharing their love letters. And a lot of them are quite nervous now, I'll be honest.
Well, having just done it myself, I think that they're probably right to be nervous. It's quite a nerve-wracking thing. So we thought, seeing as though we're asking everybody else to share their most intimate details of their friendship, we should probably put ourselves in that vulnerable position too.
So, I'm really nervous.
Somehow, and I'm not entirely sure how, I've ended up being the first person to do that. And I've written my love letter to you, Lisa, which was both really weird but really lovely as well. As I say, it's a really nice thing to do, to reflect on the people who are really special and remind yourself how lovely your friendship is. But it's also, if you're not a naturally gushy person, as we've established, it's also puts you in quite a vulnerable position,
I have actually started shaking since you started talking. I'm actually really nervous, and I don't know why I'm so nervous. I think it's because I'm not going to be able to control my emotions.
Yeah. Is it going to be laughter? Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, there's every chance. Yeah. It is my default emotion.
Yeah. So I'm going to go
Let's
in.
Do this.
I'm going to do this. Tissues at the ready, hopefully, rather than hysterics. Here we go. Dear Lisa, I thought you were bloody terrifying for the first month of knowing you. We just started Stylist magazine, working 18-hour days in a tiny room that stunk of stale Domino's takeaways and even staler breath, getting ready to launch a brand new magazine to 400,000 women every week. I actually genuinely thought you might be a robot, despite the fact that it was almost comical levels of stress and working hours. I remember you arriving every morning with a literal mane of glossy hair, always wearing heels and a fitted black dress, with a huge smile and seemingly no eye bags. And you never ever moaned. I, on the other hand, had descended into a messy ball of chaos with a keyboard ridden with baguette crumbs and a melting face. Were you actually human? I really could not work you out. But somehow, as the weeks turned into months and our formal meetings turned into three-hour chats in local cafes, something shifted. Yes, you were, and still are, unnervingly confident, positive, energetic, and weirdly sane, regardless of the circumstance. But you're also so kind, so supportive, so funny, and most importantly, so pro everyone in the room having their best day too. I quickly became more confident and more sure of myself under your eye. To this day, you have a way of making me be my very best self when I'm with you, something I've seen you do with so many other people too. I admire that in you so, so much. I don't think I can pinpoint the moment we changed from work friends to real friends. Maybe when you danced all night at my wedding despite being heavily pregnant, or when you witnessed me in the world's skankiest swimming costume, as we fished each other's kids out of a manky swimming pool on holiday together. Or the countless times we've dodged soggy breadsticks in vile soft plays, still trying to have conversations that whiz from parenting to ambitions to hangovers. You're the kind of friend I turn to when I'm sad or mad or totally overwhelmed by life and work and kids and husbands. Today, I never think of the boss-employee dynamic that started out our relationship. You're just my brilliant friend, who I really respect, who really makes me laugh, and who knows what spider means. I remember you were the first person that I saw after I found out I was pregnant while still on maternity leave, and absolutely freaking out. Through the fog of hormones and morning sickness, I thought my career was over. What a drama queen. And that the overwhelm might suffocate me. Obviously, it didn't help that at this point I already had an 11-month-old and a 2-year-old and a husband who worked away a lot. I turned to you because you did what I knew you'd do. You helped me make a plan, because good God, are you a woman who loves a plan. You told me that I could make it work because I had to, and you made me laugh. I left the pub knowing I'd be completely fine because you told me that I would be. Because the fact is, Lisa, you can back it up. I remember once asking you how you do it all, and you really, really do it all. And your answer was, you just do. And you do. I've watched you come through challenges that would break the strongest of people. And it's in those moments I've felt utter awe for you. Despite the sadness you must have felt at times, you still show up, you still get up, you still ring out the joy in every single moment, whether that's at work or as a mum or as a friend. You told me once about your favourite parenting advice. Find the magic in everyday things. And that's what you do every day. You find the magic and it makes you magic to be around. Whether that's a quick coffee that ends up being the most restorative meeting of my week or a night out that ends in karaoke and you buying shots for literally everyone in the room. Your energy is relentless. Your tolerance for a hangover even more shocking still. Your life really does make me want to go to bed at times, so I do still stand by that robot theory. I remember when we started Stylish, you told me you wanted to create a feminist magazine with complete passion. I really did think you were a bit weird, because at that time there were still lads mags and Page 3 and gossip mags that circled women's boobs. But what you really meant was a magazine that would cheer you on, lift you up, call you out if you were underestimating yourself, and tell you all the amazing things you could do. Lisa, you not only created that magazine, you've been that friend to me too. So thank you. Thank you for being my friend. Love your friend, Al.
But I've had a little cry, if I'm honest, and I had a very big laugh in the middle at the word spider. Which I'm not even going to explain. No, I'm just going to leave it there. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Oh my God. I'm completely speechless, I guess. I mean, it's very, very hard to hear someone being so nice to you. It's like really hard. And, you know, people, as you always say, people see your best sides. We're all so self-critical and you're saying all the things I would love to say of someone else or would say of someone else, but it's hard to hear about yourself.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going really emotional.
As you can probably tell, Lisa and I are both entirely uncomfortable with being emotional.
I know. I mean, really, I'm the kind of suck those tears down. Don't
never let them see you cry.
My eyes are damp. I mean, well, oh my God, all I can say is thank you. You're going to have to carry this because I don't know where to start. But it's what an amazing thing to hear about yourself. And I have to say, it's just 100% back at you. I'm, you know, all of the things that you say, I see in you.
I think the nicest thing about, to me, you know, in a lot of ways, about our friendship is we started out with you as my boss, you know, in a really intense working environment.
And now I make you write me love letters.
Exactly.
I mean, the dynamic
so if
is
anything,
still
I still am. Your bitch. no, but you know, that kind of that starting out your friendship that way doesn't necessarily lead to a friendship that we've had. And actually, how nice is that? We've been through some really stressful times together, yet somehow...
I mean, it's over a decade, and I guess that's, you know, it's a really long journey, particularly at the ages that we got to know each other. So, you know, I was just married, you were about to get married. We were, you know, we were established in our careers, but there was still a long way to go. And we didn't have kids, and we've been through all of those experiences together. And genuinely, so we met in Euphorium Bakery on Up Street, where I interviewed you. So, you know, it's a really, really weird place to think about that friendship when you, like you say, you end up in a Centre Park swimming pool in the middle of that.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's such an incredible journey. I mean, when you look back at that interview, could you ever imagine that we would be friends? You said you're scared of me. I mean, hang on.
Yeah.
I've gone all emotional, but let's take issue with that.
I was, you know, when I was thinking about my very initial thoughts of you in that bakery, I liked you. I really liked you. However, then when we started Stylist, you joined the team a couple of weeks later because you've been on honeymoon. And
romantic.
Oh, yeah, you terrified me. You were like, you knew what you wanted, and I wasn't sure I knew what you wanted.
But you know, that's a normal, I guess that's a fairly regular dynamic of a new job,
exactly.
Isn't it? Where you're like,
And
we have working on a new thing as well. No one knew what the rules were, I guess.
We really didn't. And you were trying to work out this person because, you know, we were working insane hours, and you seemed so fine and so together, and I'm sure you weren't, but obviously, you know, you're the boss, you've got to play that card. And I was just like, when's she gonna break, when's she gonna drop the mask? To be honest, you never really did, but I did see the whole other side to you as well, and realized, yeah, all the things that I said, I'm not going to repeat them because it's embarrassing now.
During the letter reading, we both turned off our cameras and couldn't look at each other. So, this is how comfortable we are both with emotions. But it's funny because I can actually remember that us meeting really well, which is a bit strange. I've interviewed lots and lots of people, and I don't know whether it's because we developed a relationship quickly or just there's something particularly about that meeting that stands out. And you know, I can actually picture you sitting at the table. All I remember thinking was, God, she's young and beautiful.
She was
we'll
young.
We'll never be friends.
Not anymore.
No, it was, we were very, very similar in lots of ways. And I guess I was interviewing you, so I sort of knew what I was looking for. But you answered everything, I guess, in a way that was so familiar to me. Because we do think alike. And so I guess that's why you get that synergy in the first place as colleagues and as people, you know, as someone who I wanted to work with and wanted to grow this amazing thing with. Because actually your brain works a bit like my brain, and I could really see that we would work well together. Because I guess that, you know, interviews are chemistry tests, aren't they? It is like dating to a degree.
Speed dating, it really is, that first meeting.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hope you've got it right, because otherwise you sat opposite them at a desk thinking, oh,
totally.
God.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. And you had been recommended to me by someone who I really respected. So I'd already gone in there with a bit of a preconception that probably you were going to be brilliant at your job because this person was just so good at talent spotting. But yeah, I guess, you know, there's no way you could ever predict what would happen after that. But I thought we would work well together and we would be brilliant colleagues. And then it is hard to sort of track back when that shifts. But I think it was such a unique period in time. We were working, I mean, really 8 a.m. to 2 a.m. days for quite a long time,
yeah.
Eating our Domino's pizzas, laughing at your Diet Coke obsession, all those sort of things.
Yeah.
And also the nature of our work is that you have to share, you end up sharing weird details about yourself. So when you're brainstorming features, you start to go, oh yeah, well that reminds me of something that happened. You tell a little
it's anecdote, true, you know.
You share things that you might not, in a different industry, you might not share that much about yourself so quickly.
I always think of features meetings that we're all kind of acting as amateur psychologist, really, because you are, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to read each other, you're trying to interpret your own moods and what you're thinking. And so, yeah, inevitably you share loads. I often thought about the other people in the coffee shop listening to us jumping from all sorts of random topics, thinking they must think we were mad. But yeah, so inevitably you do end up getting close really quickly. But I think the fact that it's our work friendship has stuck around, it is really special.
Yeah. And I guess this is the point. We're doing this together because we work so well together and because we're friends. It's like that unique combination. And I think for me, there's something really special about a true friendship that comes out of work, because think about how much time you spend in the office. Like, there's a bit of you that lots of other people never see, like your partners often don't see, your other friends will never see. They don't really understand the people you talk about or what your day means. But we can just, I mean, actually, we should say we haven't worked in an office together for quite some time. You've been working as a freelancer for what, a few years now, actually. So, and we missed that, didn't we? We really missed it. We love being able to flip between laughing at Spider and coming up with a brilliant idea for something. We'll get so excited. And, you know, I think that's unique. And again, I know that I can talk to you now about something that might happen at work and you will understand in a way that other people can't possibly.
I was thinking, though, when I was writing the letter and thinking about work friendships, about, you know, you were my boss. I must have annoyed you at times. I must have done things wrong.
All the time.
And did you ever find it harder to feed back or reprimand me for doing something because you were my friend?
I mean, this is madness. As if you needed reprimanding.
No, I know.
Ever.
I mean, I should say I'm a complete swat.
Exactly. You're a total overachiever. Yeah, there probably is a bias there that you can't help but get away from, because once you develop an affection for someone, then that probably does change that dynamic of your friendship. But having said, honestly, I'm not lying. I can't think of a time when that has been an issue for me. I mean, we've had to have fairly candid conversations, but I think I've always felt that, well, I hope so, that we approach that on a level to a degree, and that we always knew work was work and friendship was friendship. And then actually, if you had to change something at work, it was only about the job. It wasn't about you as a person or your ability. I don't know. What did you feel the other way around? Have you felt it uncomfortable or compromised as me, as your boss?
It's really boring because I want to have a really good anecdote of the time that I really did. But to add a bit of theatre, but no, I think you're very direct with your feedback, but that works for me. I much prefer people to be direct with me. I hate trying to interpret what it is that they're really saying. I'm just like, come on. So I wonder, somebody else might have found it harder. Me personally, no.
But perhaps that's why we were able to be friends.
Yeah.
Because maybe it could be that in another world or another life, you might have been brilliant friends, but you couldn't manage that work plus friendship dynamic. And it doesn't work with everyone. It really doesn't. And you know that anyone who works with anyone knows that. You could think someone's brilliant, but mixing doesn't work, or you're not able to separate those emotions. But I think this goes back to our brains work in quite a similar way. And I think we communicate in quite a similar way, which is probably beneficial in that sort of dynamic of a friendship growing out of a work relationship. I think also, I often think this, but when you've worked with someone first and then become friends, your friendship grows in a different way. But I could never work with loads of my friends. Like, I just couldn't imagine that dynamic. Could you?
Ever.
It's like, so, you know, it's a very unique way that relationship grows, because you start with the work. It's based on that,
I think.
And I guess if you're comfortable with that dynamic, then you can grow the friendship out of it.
It's true. And I think, you know, you were my boss, and it started as you being my boss. It wasn't like you were promoted to be my boss.
No, I was
really comfortable with that dynamic. I also think my personality suits being, you know, for a long time I acted as your deputy. So And I actually am really much more comfortable in that situation. You know, you're a brilliant public speaker and a brilliant, you know, leader, whereas those are the things that I find...
Don't get me started again.
But you are, whereas, you know, put me on a stage in front of people and I blah, 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 blah. I can't speak.
You went to stage school, love. I mean,
should get my money
about?
Back, clearly. You know, I can't... I'm terrible in those situations. So I kind of... I feel really comfortable in those roles most of the time. Let's see if that carries on in this new thing.
Christ, that's made me more nervous than anything else. But then I suppose that's true of all friendships, isn't there? That everyone takes a role in their friendship. If you think about your oldest friendship groups and things, it's... there is always a level of someone is the more gregarious one, someone is a bit more kind of, I don't know, everyone maternal, say, you know, people take on different roles and responsibilities. It's a natural way of a group dynamic or a pairing dynamic, I suppose.
And I don't know if you agree, but I find that that changes from friendship group to friendship group. You know, I am in some very much the listener and the this, but then with another friend, I'll be a different role.
Oh, totally. I think that's true. And I think, I don't know why that is, and I'd be really interested to explore that through this series, because actually you can see yourself, can't you? You're sort of, obviously you have party friends or you have friends who you just sit and talk with and get into the big issues, but it doesn't mean that you're always one way with everyone, which is kind of fascinating. But that is it. That's chemistry, isn't it? I guess you spark off people in different ways.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever had a work friendship that went wrong?
Yes.
Are you able to elaborate?
It's not you. Yeah, I have, actually.
Use broad brush strokes. What's the...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think work friendships, by their nature, can be really intense. You know, you are spending an insane amount of time with that person. And if you are somebody who tends to absorb everyone else's moods, which I am, when you go in and that person is in whatever mood it is that they're in, and this person tended to be quite moody. I'll be honest, I've had this twice, so it probably reflects more on me than them. But two people who I worked extremely closely with and was friends with, but who were quite moody. And then I found myself really distracted from my own work because I was constantly trying to, what's up with this person? Why are they feeling like that?
Yes.
How can I bring them out of their mood that they're in this day? And I was extremely affected by that. And it all got quite toxic.
It's like an office romance going wrong, isn't it? Actually,
yeah.
I've come across that a few times, not with other people, actually. not with me personally, but I've seen that happen where people get really chummy and it gets very intense, and then actually something either in the work level or on a personal level goes wrong, and then it ruins their career in that role, really, because actually it's incredibly hard to manage a personal relationship. So I guess work friendships are brilliant when they work. Yeah, there is a gamble.
You know, you're living that friendship every single day. You can't get away from them. So that is, yeah. It's been harder.
I am thinking back to our own friendship. One of the things I was reflecting on was the fact that you're a bit like Meet the Fockers. There's an inner circle and it's very hard to get in.
What, me personally?
You're just in the spectrum of that.
Right, yeah.
And I was thinking about, actually, you may have said over the years once or twice, I don't really need any new friends. I just don't need any new
friends. That sounds awful.
But it's because you've got a really fantastic group of friends and you've got a big family. And I think that's part of it. Whereas I'm like, yay, love everyone.
Far nicer person than me.
Let's hang out. It's not about niceness because you are definitely nicer than me. But actually, I was like, how did I break into the inner sanctum of the Fockers world?
That's a good question. I think it is. My friends are all really different characters, actually, and do play very different roles in my life. However, they all have a certain way that they look at the world where they don't take it too seriously. They probably would laugh at exactly the same thing I would laugh at. And I would know just by looking at their face that they were thinking what I was thinking. And I think you're just one of those people as well. And that doesn't cut, you know, somebody who I don't have to make a huge amount of effort with, because I'm awful at idle chit chat. I'm terrible at that. You know, somebody who, when I go and see them and I haven't seen them for ages, we don't have to spend hours on niceties. It's just straight into, oh God, that person's annoying. Oh God, or moan, but then move from moaning to laughing really quickly. I think.
Good.
But yeah, it is true. I don't pick up loads of friends.
Hey, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm delighted to be there.
Thanks.
I'm delighted to be in the inner sanctum.
Yeah, I sound like it's such a bitch. But
No, you don't. You 100% don't. And actually, I think this is, I remember a cross-office conversation, I don't know if you can remember this once, about whether you're a mixer, as in do you mix your friends up, or are they very like, that's the group I see on one day, that's the group I see on another day. And I have definitely over the years done lots of mix-ups and kind of like, come, you'll love them, crossover. Whereas I think you're more of a purist to the keep everyone separate.
With everything, Lisa. Purist with everything.
Will you let your food touch on a plate, Alex? Because that's kind of similar, isn't it?
It is similar. I'm all right with that. I can have a little bit of food merging. But, you know, I'm very specific about what I like and what I don't like and how, yeah, no, I'm definitely a purist. And I think it goes back to that same thing of, I find mixing lots of different friends hard because I will instinctively be thinking, oh God, what's that person? Is that person comfortable? Is that person comfortable?
Well, this is what I think. See, this is it, to prove that you're not a bad person. The reason why you're like that is because you really care how someone else is feeling. So I think it all stems from like, what if they're not having a good time? What if you take the responsibility for them?
Yeah.
Because actually you are just so caring about other people. You are so invested in other people. And, but like, I mean, you really are. And that's what makes you so special, is that you are just such a considerate, generous person in so many different ways. I'm making you squirm. But you really are. And it's like, it's one of your unique and special things. And I think probably there's a level of that. And you're not, as you keep saying, you're not necessarily the person going, woo, like, look at me, everyone, look over here. Like, you're very invested in each person. So I've always assumed it comes from that, is that it's sort of even, like, in a weirder protective way to people around you.
Yeah, We'll go with that rather than my fumbled strange response that didn't really make much
sense. It's very hard to talk about
it
yourself.
It is really hard. I have to admit my palms are sweaty.
On that point though, I maybe gave you a bit of a bad rep because actually we do have a really good circle of friends from work over the past few years, like really close. And I feel very lucky for that actually, because we've got our friendship, but actually there is a bigger group of friends as well. And you know, I look back at a few of my workplaces and I tend to have a little core of friends that have traveled with me and stayed with me as sort of a bit of a chapter of my life, and they understand, you know, they're still really close friends to me, even though I don't see them in the same way that you do when you're working with someone. Has that been your experience? I mean, definitely at Stylist.
Definitely at Stylist, you know, we've 11 years I've worked there, and you know, there are definitely a core group of friends who I just know seeing just makes me happy, you know, like, and I think that is actually something that I'm missing right now, that one night out with that one group of friends who you just know you're going to come away and you're going to have really laughed, you're going to have really reminisced, you're going to have remembered a lot of shorthand and daft things that happened just because you've seen that person. And it gives you a bit of a, I don't know, like an energy refill or something, just seeing that group of friends. I've definitely got that. Even with friends that, you know, I did Saturday jobs with, I still remember
Betty's
my first Saturday job. No, even before that, Schmeichel's. You know, I actually worked there with my best friend, and we have got so many daft stories about that place that I literally just need to say guinea pig and she will know exactly what I'm talking about. That should I think, as I say, you know, a work friendship special because you are experiencing something just like when you're at school, you're experiencing it exactly the same time. My final question to you is, have you ever found it harder to be vulnerable with me because of your capacity as my boss? Have you ever felt it harder to be vulnerable, or even to be crazy Lisa, because we all know you've got that in you, or felt like you had to censor yourself because you knew that I was working with you the next day?
No, maybe at the very beginning. I mean, I think there's a degree of like, oh, I should definitely at the beginning where you sort of go, right, we're crossing boundaries, we're definitely talking more about friends, and I probably wouldn't have shared any of my true work stresses maybe, or things like that. I might have held some of that back, or if I felt insecure or challenged or whatever, maybe because I would have felt the need to be your manager still at some point. But that we're going way back at that point. I think actually you're one of the people I can be the most vulnerable with, and I think you really get, you know how hard it is for me to do that because you're the same. And so when, and you know, there have been various challenges, I think I've been more candid with you than actually lots of people, because I think you get it. And you have a really good ability of going, I'm checking in, I'm checking up on you, but I also know that at some point you're just going to want me to joke around a bit, so which I do. Like, I think I remember messaging you once on the way to work, and I'd been through a bit of a traumatic thing, and I said to you, look, I think I'm going to cry today. Like, I can really feel it on the cusp. So can you just take the piss a bit when I get, when I get into work? But also, can you just know? Because actually, by you knowing I knew someone had my back, what an amazing thing that is. I mean, honestly, you can't ask for more than that. But also, as is coming across, I guess, I do deal with everything through, I'm gonna put my happy on, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to smile, I'm going to find the joy. I mean, what a nice day, I'm going to find the joy. And I do, that is quite important to me, actually. And I think you navigate that really well. And sometimes, you know, I don't necessarily want to talk about everything for ages, but I do want, you know, it's amazing to know that someone is there if you need them. And actually, that's enough sometimes.
Yeah.
That really is it. And I think, you know, you could talk, talking about that conversation in the pub when you tell me you were pregnant. We're still relatively early into our true friendship. I guess that's where it all starts to come together, is through the kids, I think, to a degree. As our lives changed, we were sort of navigating that together. But yeah, I think, again, we started to really share bigger things and stuff that was, you know, just so beyond, even like a, a fair weather friendship where you'd be great hanging out, but you were getting into deeper and deeper issues. So I think the vulnerability has grown, but I think that would take me a long time with anyone, not just because of the work dynamic.
Yeah, me too, actually. Me too. I don't know about you, but I feel emotionally drained.
I mean, I'm actually planning to have a little sob after this. And it's not all sad. It's just dealing with emotions. Obviously, I'm a robot, so I don't actually have any of those.
I still stand by that point.
Actually, before we go, the one thing I did just want to say, right, you talked about me always wearing heels, which is 100% true. Like, I did it even into my third pregnancy. Was
oh, heels you did? Without. Oh, my God. I was in pain.
I don't know
looking
why.
At you. Because you're really tall as well.
I'm not. I'm 5'7". I always tell you this. I was thinking about what is different now compared to then. And like, fashion is a really easy indicator of that, isn't it? Because when I mean, lockdown fashion particularly, massive puffer coats with beanie hats and trainers and muddy boots. But I was trying to think, like, are there anything now that you look back on and go, oh, I can't believe we were like that or we did that? Because the fashion is one of them for me. We were like funny, like young professionals in our heels and whistles dresses.
I used to wear waist belts. and then I'd have my lunch and think, oh God, why am I wearing this belt? all your questions are very thinkers, aren't they?
You know, I am very deep. But it's, you know, I'm a bit like, I feel like a really different person now than the person I was when I met you. And I think that's partly having kids and becoming a mum, and that changes your perspective. It's partly living through a bloody pandemic. You know, it's like changed a lot about how we think. I was more uptight then, definitely. I think that's what I'm getting at.
You
I think
were.
I was.
Definitely.
I just wanted to do a good job, and I think I felt that pressure. Also, I always said having a child gave me perspective, because I was very career focused, very ambitious, and I really wanted to be slick and good at that. And actually, I look at people doing that now and I'm like, that is hard work, guys.
It's true. You were, yeah, I would agree with your points on yourself. You were more uptight. You were harder to please. And I think having children has really softened you. I think...
I'm still hard to please. I'm just better at being nice about
it. Yeah, true. I still know exactly what raised eyebrow Lisa means. I'm going to be a bit soft again now, but I think my confidence has grown immeasurably in that time. I think you probably wouldn't realise, but I was at that point quite unsure of myself, really hard on myself.
Oh, you're still hard on yourself.
Yeah, I still am, but I really was to quite a detrimental effect on myself at that time, I think. And actually working with you did make a massive difference.
Oh my God.
It did, you know, you really did boost my confidence a lot. I'll leave you there.
Good God. Well, look, you know, it's all the work is yours, my friend.
There you go.
All the work is yours. Right, definitely am emotionally drained now. It is time to end the chat. I do just want to say thank you, though. I mean, we thought it was important to show our own vulnerability. Writing these letters are incredibly exposing and make you feel uncomfortable, if that's not it. But actually, I think, I mean, as someone, I feel seen in a way that I can't actually think of another way that I felt seen like that. You know, actually hearing that, seeing yourself through someone else's eyes is pretty amazing. Thank you for all the kind words. They really do mean a lot. I'll stick with the jokes, obviously, because I'm more comfortable in that arena. So all I say to you, Alex Walker, is spider. If you've been inspired to write a love letter to your friend by this incredible experience, and we hope you do, because that is our mission here, to reclaim love letters for the most important relationships in our lives, we want to read and hear yours. So hop over to our Love Letter to My Friend account on Instagram and DM us your letters and voice notes, because we're hoping to share some of those in future episodes.
We'd like to ask you a friendly favour too. If you rate and review this podcast, it will really help us to reach more people. And please don't forget to subscribe so you can hear Fern Cotton, Kimberly Walsh, Terry White and Charlie Brinkhurst Cuff share their love letters.
Thank you so much for listening, friends.
This series is the brainchild of hosts and friends Lisa Smisarski and Alex Walker and is an II Studios production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.